Roll tape, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A 3-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly 3 decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
What is it going to be? A big Tuesday, a wet Tuesday, that's for sure. But, man, a lot going on. Normally, Tuesdays are fairly quiet. It's like the one quiet day we get during the week. But that is not going to be the case today. Welcome to the Kia Studios Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. A lot going on, not the least of which, of course, is an election. It is election day, so... No matter what your stripe or your preference, we always want to encourage you to get out and go vote. And they always say do your civic duty, but if you don't want to do your civic duty, it's really kind of a choice. I mean, but
yeah, but you need to go out there and vote, John. You need to go vote today because this is very important. I mean, you know, like you said, don't care who you vote for, just go out there and cast your ballot.
Yeah, that's the most important thing. My daughter has yet to vote.
Is that right?
Yeah, so I finally got her to where she, you know, because you know when you're 18, 19. See, now when I was 18. I remember running.
That's when they were going to Vietnam and stuff like that, right?
You know, well, I mean, yeah, there was still the draft back then, yeah.
No, I'm just saying. No, because I remember I had to sign up for the draft, too.
When you turned
18.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Selective service, I had to sign up for the draft.
Yeah, Winnie looking at us like we,
she's a girl.
I mean, you didn't have to do that.
Well, I didn't know any guys that had to sign up for anything.
Because there are probably guys your age that didn't have to do that.
Yeah, guys still have to. You still have to sign up for the draft.
No, because I remember when I went to college, it was like in the 90s. They were talking about reinstating the draft or whatever.
Yep.
And I was like, and that was my first year of school. And they were saying if your GPA was like a 2.3 or lower, you had to go. And thank goodness I had like a 3.0. My first, you know, because I only had one semester under my belt. I only had one semester under my belt. So I had a pretty good semester, pretty good start. Then after that, it came back to life.
For those who are unfamiliar with what Hugh and John are speaking of, the draft ended in 1973.
Right, you still had to sign up for selective
service. Selective service.
And the draft itself ended in 73. Unfortunately, or fortunately, I don't know, I'm old enough to remember watching the draft on TV. And,
really?
Oh, yeah. I remember the draft probably in 72.
Now, how did that work?
It was basically like a lottery. I mean, they had a big board up there, and you had
hold
bingo.
Up, they weren't calling people's name on television.
No, the way it was the first 100 birthdays drawn. You were drafted. 365 days, the first 100 birthdays drawn, you were drafted. And so they had a big bingo thing, and then they would just pull out the birthdays one by one by one and put the dates on the board. And if you were in the first 100 birthdays, you got drafted. So you had a 3.65-1 chance of not getting drafted, but you could have been drafted. So if your birthday was called, you were off to the U.S. military.
That is scary.
Yeah. And understandably, I mean, when you get a time of crisis, I mean, if we ever went into a world war again, hey, don't think the draft couldn't come back. It could. I mean, that's why you have to sign up for selective service, because in a time of emergency, if we went into a world war, if something happened with Russia or who knows what, you know, don't watch House of Cards, okay? That's all I'm saying. or a Tom Clancy movie, because you're going to think that. Anyway, let's get to the other important stuff. Hawks play tonight against the Charlotte Hornets, and we will have that game for you tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, beginning at 6:30 with the pregame show and Andy Bunker. Tip at 7 from Charlotte, and that'll always be a test because Kemba Walker is that guy. And the Hawks are talking about, because we don't know when
John
Collins is going to be back either.
Yeah, it sounds like it's kind of one of those things where it's probably going to be a while. It's going to be a while.
Yeah, it's like indefinite now.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so I mean, it's so just game to game, get a lot game of burn. To game. Yeah, Vince is going to get burned, right? And we'll talk with Travis Schlenk at 8:20 this morning, the general manager, about the Hawks and about some of the other big stories in the NBA. We had NFL football last night. By the way, don't sleep on this. Big game, an important game for the Falcons last night by virtue of what happened. Bigger game in a lot of ways for the Falcons on Thursday night in 2 days when the Panthers take on the Steelers on Thursday night. But to last night, the Tennessee Titans roll into the Jerry Dome, Hugh, and they knock off the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, that was an ugly game, too. I mean, you talk about the way that Dallas Cowboys defense played. They put pressure on Marcus Mariota. Marcus Mariota. all night long. They were putting pressure on him. It was kind of feast or famine for him in the first half. Like, either he made a big play or he took a big loss. And this morning when I wake up, the first thing that I hear on the radio is them talking about whether or not they're going to move on from Jason Garrett.
Right.
And his tenure there with the Dallas Cowboys, because they just look like a team that's inept right now. You talk about, you know, last year, they're coming on like – the year before that, coming on like gangbusters and everything, and now the way that they're looking, they just look inept right now.
Well, they're 3-5, and this was a good result for the Atlanta Falcons to have Dallas lose. And, of course, we'll see the Dallas Cowboys at Mercedes-Benz Stadium coming up in a couple of weeks, and hopefully Dallas is trending in the wrong direction. That'd be a very good thing. The Falcons get the Browns and maybe a Dallas team that's struggling and going backwards. That would be a good thing. Yeah, Dallas couldn't get anything going last night. They did have Amari Cooper score early in the game, and that was a good thing for them. But, man, after that, nothing.
Yeah, it looked like Dak a couple times, John. It was one sack that he took that I felt that it was kind of like on a late blitz. I felt like he held the ball a little bit too long.
Yeah, I agree.
And he could have got the ball out of his hands a little bit faster than that. He just looked a little lost. He looked a little lost back then in that defense. I'll tell you what, though. The Dallas Cowboys front four, I mean, you know, I hate to give them props, but they're pretty decent. They're pretty decent up front. They're pretty decent.
They can't score right now.
No, I'm talking about the defensive line.
I know.
Yeah, and they run some pretty good stunts. I'm looking at that game last night and looking at the way that they ran stunts. I was like, damn, they run some pretty tight stunts. Like, as far as D linemen are concerned, because I'm talking about hugging corners and doing a great job of utilizing the space that they're given as far as when they run those stunts and mm-hmm. coming off and running. I was like, man, they run some pretty good stunts.
Well, but they got beat by two touchdowns at home, 28-14. And in the game, Dak Prescott forced a pass in the end zone to Amari Cooper trying to get a second touchdown. He was double covered in the end zone. He gets picked off by Kevin Byard. Kevin Byard then turns and runs 58 or 60 yards out to the middle of the field and goes full TO.
Yeah, I saw that. It was a couple cats that did that to the star, and they were just being real disrespectful. Nobody respects the Dallas Cowboys like they did when Michael Irvin played, and Michael Irvin and those guys played. It's a different ball game now, man. I mean, that Dallas Cowboys team that used to play back when they were winning Super Bowls, they were a beast. They were the beast of the East. Now they don't get that kind of respect anymore.
Yeah, I just think about that. You know, an entire generation has grown up not knowing the Dallas Cowboys.
Used to be good?
Yeah.
No, but you know what the good thing about it, though, John? Them old folks that follow the Cowboys and the diehard Cowboy fans, they'll remind you.
Uh-huh.
They remind you their dominance in the 90s. Every chance they get.
You ain't mad, are you?
I ain't mad at all. But, yeah, you know, like Michael Irvin yesterday when he was going in it with Stephen A. Smith, he was a part of that. He was a part of that magical run that the Dallas Cowboys had. But guess what? That was a long time ago.
And by the way, when
long time ago.
It went stone cold because I don't believe – the stat is something like, and I may be close if I'm not exact, one playoff win in the last 21 years. One playoff win in the last 21 years.
And guess who that was against? Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, because that was when they started to move. Because Vic came in. Vic came into the game. I remember that. That was the only Dallas playoff win that they had.
I mean, that's like, you know, I mean, that's like Lions bad, Browns bad. Yeah. I mean, one playoff win in 21 years.
But, you know, you let the Dallas Cowboy fans tell you, which I'm pretty sure they're probably blowing up my timeline right now. Oh, well, we got so many titles. All right, dog. Yeah, you do.
You do.
I remember that's when microwaves was first hot.
Yep.
And
before the internet.
What's the Walkmans? Everybody was running around with Walkmans.
Right.
Pagers.
Sky pagers.
Sky pagers,
yeah,
right.
Boom boxes and whatnot. Yeah. But it's cool. I mean, yeah, you got those. It's cool.
Yeah, but the Cowboys fall to 3-5. Tennessee, though, goes to 4-4. Huge win for the Titans on the road last night. Just a couple other quick headlines this morning on the morning show with John and Hugh. You do need to keep an eye on the weather today because early on, first half of the day, it could be a little choppy out there. So just be mindful if you're headed to work or if you're going to go vote. The Braves get a couple of finalists. They announced them last night. Ronald Acuna, a finalist for Rookie of the Year. That'll be announced by next Monday night.
And who else?
Soto and
who was his name?
Soto. Who was the third? Bueller.
Bueller. I was talking about Soto. I told you it's going to be a little bit of competition there. Like, you're looking at me like I'm, you know, you ain't trying.
Oh,
to
no, there
I'm
may
saying.
Be a little bit of competition, but if Acuna doesn't win it, it's a joke.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not gonna argue that point. I live in Atlanta. I'm not gonna argue that point. I'm just saying. It's gonna be interesting to see who gets that award. It really is.
And then Brian Snicker, a finalist for Manager of the Year, alongside Bud Black and Craig Counsell. I do not expect Snicker to win it.
No.
I think Craig Counsell wins.
Yeah, that's the one for Colorado.
No, Milwaukee. No.
Milwaukee, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
I mean, Milwaukee ended up winning the National League Central and having the best record in the National League. I mean, okay, look, they beat out the Cubs, they win the NL Central, they have the best record in the league. You know what? That probably would earn you Manager of the Year. I mean, Snicker may win it, but if Snicker wins it, I think it's an upset. If Acuna doesn't win it, I think it's a joke. Because and by the way, I don't really care that much. You know, I mean, I'll bitch and moan if Acuna doesn't win it next Monday. You don't hear that.
We know.
Yeah, you know, but
that's a
given. Because I mean, I just look at Ronald Acuna and think, man, you know what? It was like the Gold Glove thing that happened. Inciarte wins a Gold Glove. Marquez wins a Gold Glove. I'm thrilled that they did. And I thought all I could think was, heck, you know what? The best defensive outfielder didn't even win a Gold Glove. I mean, that's what we're talking about with
no,
the Braves.
No, I mean he played well. But I look at it like this, John. You're talking about a year where in baseball, you know, baseball is one of those sports where it might take you 3 to 4 years to come up to the majors. You know, you have all this talent, and it'll
mm-hmm.
take you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That this year has been the year in baseball where that has not been the case. You've seen a lot of young guys come up.
Teenagers.
And, yes, and make huge contributions to their club. And that's the thing. That's what I'm kind of looking at. Not taking anything away from Acuna. If it was a year where there wasn't so many young players coming in, doing what they've done, I say, oh, yeah, hands down. But you've had a lot of young players come in this season for whatever reason, and they've had some huge contributions, and I think it's going to make it a little bit tougher for them this year.
It is a huge day for college sports, and we'll talk about it in about 7 minutes. We'll get into the playoff poll, not 1 through 5, but more 6 through 10 to see how it's going to be determined. College basketball starts tonight, and in Indianapolis there is a ginormous doubleheader. Gigantic doubleheader, Michigan State and Kansas, followed by Duke and Kentucky. If you are a college basketball fan, I'm pretty sure that's like number one, number two, and number three, and then Michigan State is like, I don't know, 12th or 15th or something. But I think they're 10th. Okay, that's overrated. Michigan State's going to be okay. I think that, you know, they're a good team, but they are not a top 10 team. I mean, I'm just saying. They're not the best team in the Big Ten.
Dude, it's hard to believe we're transitioning. We're starting to transition already. I mean, it's just weird.
That conference hate coming out already. Yeah. We haven't played a game, John.
That's my partner right there. Speaking of that, how's Archie and Elsie? How are they doing?
Oh, I got in so much trouble this morning, dude. You can't even believe it. I got in trouble.
You know, you
got
to have the Chronicles of Archie and Elsie from now on, John.
4:09 a.m. I got in serious trouble. I don't have time to tell it?
No, you don't have to. Yeah, you did that on purpose. I know. We got time. We got all day. Well, we got 4 hours.
College football playoff coming up. Poll is today. Who will be 6 through 10? That's the real intriguing question. Game from the Kia Studios, John and Hugh. Raining outside. It's going to be storming a little bit this morning, so do be careful out there if you're headed to work or if you're going to go vote on Election Day in the midterm elections today. Hawks tonight, 6:30, pregame in Charlotte. 7 o'clock tip with Steve Holman on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I think, Hugh, that the reason that I'm a college football fan because I grew up a fan of the sport, but why I find college football fascinating because in this day and age of the playoff is that this is a puzzle that you can't necessarily solve. Everybody kind of looking at this thinking, and maybe rightfully so, that Alabama is going to win it all anyway, so what does it matter? But
they are the hottest team in college football right now. There's no question about that.
But, you know, it will be interesting to see if they get any challenge in the college football playoff. The other spots are not settled. And here we go today with a new college football playoff poll. Now, we know who's going to be 1 through 5. I'd be shocked if it were anything but Alabama 1, Clemson 2, Notre Dame 3, Michigan 4, Georgia 5. I don't even know how the committee would justify anything but that in that order. But they may. I mean, you can't put Michigan ahead of Notre Dame. Notre Dame beat Michigan. You can't put Georgia ahead of Michigan. Not now. They lost by 20. Michigan's hotter. Clemson's got to be 2, and we know Alabama's 1. So that's pretty much that. 6 through 10.
It's up in the air.
Yeah.
It's up in the air. And I think that I would probably say right there on the outside looking in because of their upcoming matchup, I would probably say Georgia's probably number 5.
Yeah, Georgia will be 5.
Yeah, Georgia definitely is number 5 because of their – inevitable meeting between them and Alabama that's coming. So, you know, you don't want to, you know, as far as that concerned, you don't want them it to be nothing crazy where they have to jump, you know, a whole bunch of spots to get to that area. But that's going to be a good game. Michigan has been playing well. Because we were talking about, I forgot about LSU was in the poll last week. LSU fell to Alabama. So Michigan should be that fourth team that's in. And they've quietly handled their business. And that win against Penn State's been reeling. Ever since that Ohio State loss, they've been kind of like on the downward spiral. No question about that. So respectfully, I think that, Mia, to your point, Michigan would be number four, the fourth team.
Yeah, I think the committee is privately rooting for Michigan and Notre Dame and Clemson to win out. I think if the committee had their way, that would be your final three teams to join the SEC champion, because I think what they're really concerned about right now as we sit now, again, you're right, Hugh, we have a month to go.
Yeah.
I mean, and so things are going to shake out in the course of the month. But the one thing I think they don't want to be in a position where Alabama's unbeaten number one, Georgia's number two or number three, and then suddenly Georgia beats Alabama in the SEC title game, and they're in a position where they have to take Alabama as a loser in the title game and put them into the playoff. They don't want that. It may be what they have to do, but they do not want to do that. I guarantee you they don't want to do that.
To me, John, Alabama's one of those teams that, say if they do take a loss, they will still be in strong contention to get into the college football playoffs.
I understand, I know. I mean,
they will be. I mean, just because of what they've done, what they've meant in the past, and just for the viewership. People want to see Alabama for one or two reasons. Either you're an Alabama fan or you want to see them lose.
Right. No, I totally – you're absolutely right on everything.
you either want to see them win or you want to see them lose. There's no in-between when it comes to that, because you either have people that love Nick Saban or they hate him.
Right.
And they hate what Alabama stands for. So that to me is that's one side of the coin. That's almost like watching Tom Brady do what he does and win the East every year, and the Patriots go to the Super Bowl every year.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the same thing, kind of in the same vein. People want to see that. Whether they want to admit it or not, they want to see that. They want to see what team out there matches up with that high-powered offense of Alabama's.
Which, by the way, no, the point I'm making here is that if Georgia wants to win the national title, it's possible, Hugh, that Georgia would have to beat Alabama
twice. Yeah. That's what you're looking at, John, because there's a road that Alabama could potentially take, like they did last year, and still go with one loss. One loss, Alabama is definitely going to get in. That's the one team that you look at that out of all the teams that are undefeated, that are potentially ranked in the top four, they're the one team that you look at and say, okay, they'll definitely get back in with one loss.
You know, it's going to be interesting this week. Clemson has played a lot of patty cakes lately. And you know, earlier in the year, they got they had a couple of close wins. You know, they've been storming everybody lately. I get that. And they're playing their best football of the year, especially since they made the move at quarterback. And Trevor Lawrence is really, you know, up that ante. But they played a couple of close games this year. They could have lost A&M. They could have lost to Syracuse, but they didn't. And now they get Boston College in Chestnut Hill this week. That's not going to be an easy out. Boston College is a pretty good football team.
Yeah, they're ranked in the top 25, number 22 right now. That's going to be a good game for them. But still, John, I think it's up there. It's up there, Boston, correct?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Still, I don't think that they're going to have enough to beat them. It might be an interesting game. But quietly, nobody's talking about Clemson and what they've been able to build over there.
Destroying people.
Yes, they are. But that's not the story. And I think that's the way that Coach Sweeney wants it. He wants it that nobody's talking about Clemson.
If they go to Boston College and they destroy Boston College, everybody starts to go, uh-oh.
Yeah, you know. they're looking for the collision course matchup.
Yeah, everybody pretty much is right now anyway. Michigan's got a layup this week. They play Rutgers. Georgia has an interesting game. Look, you know, if you're Georgia, you cannot have a misstep.
Against Auburn.
Yep.
Yeah, that's going
to
be one.
Because there's another possibility here, and that is that Georgia would have a misstep. Let's say they lose to Auburn, okay? They go to the SEC title game. Georgia's got two losses. Alabama's there with none. Georgia beats Alabama, wins the SEC title, but Alabama still goes to the playoff. How about that?
See, now, I'm not saying that can't happen, but this is the one time where I'm going to go back in my time machine and talk about what the committee told us.
What
they tell us 3 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
That conference championships matter.
Uh-huh.
That's one of the reasons why TCU – who was it, TCU?
And Baylor.
And Baylor, they had that little tay-to-tay. So I'm gonna go back. See, now that's where I have a little frame of reference that I can work with, John. I can go back in time and say, well, hold up, wait a minute. You told me, but you had said back then that this matters, especially in the SEC.
Right.
In the SEC, I think that carries more weight because the year that Penn State was, they won it, right?
Right. They didn't get in.
But that's
Ohio State did.
Yeah, but that's different. That's a different conference. let's be honest. That's different. I'm from Ohio. That I grew up watching Big Ten. That's a different conference.
Right.
You told me, but you had said that the SEC, well, that the conference champion carries more weight. And I would think that win against Alabama by Georgia, if that happened, right, that would carry more weight than Penn State winning the Big
you
Ten,
would
that,
think,
in my opinion.
But this is how weird it is. Oklahoma and West Virginia, Hugh. Oklahoma, this will be fascinating to see where those two are this week, because Oklahoma and West Virginia, the two powers of the Big 12, both with only one loss this season. Oklahoma and West Virginia, not only do they're almost hell-bent on meeting in the Big 12 championship game, we know that, they also play the last week of the regular season. They could play back-to-back, those two. They could play twice in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, it's almost certain that they will play twice in 2 weeks. So if you look at somebody, let's just for the sake of argument say West Virginia, because Oklahoma's defense is, not that West Virginia's is any good, but let's say that West Virginia suddenly runs the table. If they beat Oklahoma back-to-back, they're in. They got to be in, don't they? They just beat Oklahoma back-to-back.
John, I still think watchability is a huge factor too. I mean, which is sad, bad to say, because like we've been told that this is based on, you know, your win record, your win and loss record. Nobody wants to see West Virginia in the college football playoffs, the 14 playoffs. I mean, seriously. I mean, do you want to see West Virginia in the college football playoffs? I mean, and I'm not saying that because I'm trying to be disrespectful to their program.
I would rather see, well, yes, but I would rather see West Virginia than Ohio State.
I don't know about that. Now you talking about the Ohio State that just played Nebraska last week? Now
they got killed by Purdue.
Yeah, I think there's still people out there that want to see Ohio State and see what Dwayne Haskins can do on that big stage.
Ohio State, blech. You know, I mean,
no, but Ohio State.
Here's my thing. I want to see some new blood in this too. I'm tired of seeing the same teams.
If it
ends up Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and Oklahoma, I might boycott it because I'm going to go, I don't care anymore.
Stop it. No, you're not.
I mean, give me something different.
You've been watching the same two teams play for the last 4 years that they've been in the college football playoffs. You ain't complaining now. And now all of a sudden it makes a difference who's in.
I want to see somebody
Alabama,
new.
Alabama and Clemson have been going to this thing since its inception.
Yep.
Since its inception. So come on, man. We're going to see. We're just looking at different matchups. We're just looking. The two top spots have been set since we've been doing this. It's just that who are the other two teams, basically?
Right.
Those are the only two interchangeable parts right there. Who are the two sacrificial lambs?
Right.
Basically.
Well, I don't know if it's sacrificial. This is why I find myself doing something I never thought I would do. Root for Michigan.
Why?
Because their defense, that team is good enough that I would be fascinated what happens if Michigan lines up against Alabama or Clemson. I certainly think that Michigan give Clemson a game.
I would like to see that, but I don't think that. Like, it'll be like the Atlanta Falcons playing the Washington Redskins in my eyes. And guess who the Redskins are? The Michigan Wolverines. I don't think that they'll be able to go toe-to-toe.
But at least it's better than Ohio State or something.
John, take your hate for Urban Meyer out of your conversation. Take that out of it.
At least it's somebody different.
Well, okay, I see what Michigan would be new.
Yes.
A new sacrificial lamb. I got you.
Okay.
Yeah, I got you with that.
And West Virginia be a new sacrificial lamb.
And you would save Coach Harbaugh's job for another year.
I think that's already been saved, frankly.
Basically.
It is an interesting arguing Tuesday. It's going to be a lot of arguments. It's election day, right? I mean, come on. So we'll keep it here in this lane. The Wendy's Zone is next. Some of the wild things that we may have missed early in the morning. But John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So yesterday we were asking you at 92.9 The Game on our Twitter and our Facebook pages about what you would grade the Falcons at the halfway point of the NFL season. So if you head over to at 92.9 The Game on our Twitter page asking you who are the MVPs both defensively and offensively for the Falcons at the halfway point. Offensively, you have Matt Ryan, Calvin Ridley, Julio Jones, Tevin Coleman / Ito Smith. And defensively, you can choose between Grady Jarrett, DeMonte Casey, Devondre Campbell, or Tack McKinley.
Yeah, so it's a little bit different. We're actually running two polls this morning, right? This is a little bit different. One, the offensive MVPs, and two, the defensive MVPs. Hugh, do you have a vote in this? Offensive MVP again, Matt Ryan, Calvin Ridley, Julio Jones, or the combo of Coleman and Smith?
I like the combo of Coleman and Smith. I do. But I would probably vote Calvin Ridley because of what he's brought to the table this season. So I'm going to go Calvin Ridley.
Who are you voting for, Wendy?
I'm going with the guy that's 213 for 301, 2,685 yards passing, 70.8% completion, averaging 8.92 yards per attempt, 19 touchdowns to only three interceptions, and 115.1 passer rating for eight games. Yeah, I'm going with Matt Ryan.
You're going with that guy. Who are you voting for if offensive MVP there, E.T.?
That's very easy. Yeah. Without all the stats.
Yeah, I'm not wrong. D, if you're voting in this, who are you voting for?
I don't have a vote.
Oh. It's election day. You got a vote.
I did on Friday for 2.5 hours.
Fair enough. John, who are you going with?
Well, you got to go with Matt Ryan. I totally agree. But the defensive one, I think, is far more interesting.
It is.
Grady Jarrett, DeMonte Casey, Devondre Campbell, Tack McKinley. And by the way, you can, if you want to put somebody else in there, we already see the snark from Team Complain out there from John Chuckery already doing doing his thing.
To the homie.
With his snark out there. But Grady Jarrett, we picked four, and you can pick another one if you like. But Grady Jarrett, DeMonte Casey, Devondre Campbell, Tack McKinley, who leads the team in sacks with 5.5.
I would probably go Grady. I think that when he came back, that you could see how much he really meant to this team. And that's where I'm going to go with mine. And it ain't got nothing to do with nothing else, but Grady Jarrett can actually play some football. And his mama fine.
I'm going to go with DeMonte Casey. With Ricardo Allen out, DeMonte Casey's really had to step in, and he's shadowed or just been around Ricardo Allen, and to have to set up the defense and just be there so quickly in his career in Ricardo Allen's position, my vote goes to DeMonte Casey.
AT, if you have a vote, Grady Jarrett, DeMonte Casey, Devondre Campbell, Tack McKinley.
While Grady is very valuable to the team, the injuries hurt him in my decision. I would have gone with DeMonte Casey.
I want to get to Tanitra. Tanitra, you want to jump into this? You want to vote in this thing here? Because Daryl didn't want to vote.
So I get the default because Daryl doesn't want to vote.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Dee. No. Everybody's allowed. I mean, I know you're over there working. I'm just wondering if I didn't want to bug you because you're busy. Do you want to jump into this?
Yeah, I'm actually trolling people on Twitter right now to see what my next flash is going to be like at 7:20. So give me the offensive folks, if you don't mind.
Ryan Ridley, Jones, or the combo of Tevin and Ito.
Okay, so since everybody else has gone in the not Julio Jones direction, okay. I do want to go in the Julio Jones direction, and I think it's more of, I'm not going for stats, but I'm just going for impact, actually without stats. So you go for half a season, and you're just getting your first touchdown of the season, and just the reaction of your teammates, that tells you so much about what he is as an MVP who, without, you know, that particular stat line, but look at the rest of the stats and what he does to kind of shift Calvin Ridley in getting what he's been able to get wouldn't have gotten there without that impact of
totally
the Jet.
Agree.
See, that's why I nominated Tanitra.
Yeah, see,
Synopsis.
Thanks,
so on defense,
hey, baby.
Grady, Tanitra, Grady Jarrett, DeMonte Casey, Devondre Campbell, Tack McKinley.
It's hard not to go with Grady Jarrett. It's really hard not to go with Grady Jarrett. Again, I'm just going from the standpoint of not looking at the stats, just impact to the team. And I go back to a couple things that Dan Quinn talked about when he talked about some of the players coming back this past week in his last Wednesday's presser.
Mm-hmm.
And he just focused. He came back to Grady Jarrett. He just kept coming back to Grady Jarrett. And then Wendy and I were both there. And I think, Wendy, you'd agree when we were talking to players on the offensive side of the ball about their excitement of who's coming back from injury, they kept going back to Grady Jarrett. So again, I just think it's that impact and that ability to just change things, not just by your presence on the field, but what he's able to impact.
Well,
Grady
Jarrett's had to mentor not only Dangerous Snod as a rookie, he's also done it with Jack Crawford, who you remember didn't start off playing football when he was younger. I mean, he's still fairly new compared to some of these guys coming over from London. So you talk to guys even on the offensive side of the ball. Tanitra said, like Alex Mack mentioned Grady Jarrett last week. So his impact is felt throughout that locker room.
All right. So, again, we have two polls running this morning, offensive and defensive MVPs, and you can vote in both at 9 to 9 the game.
Well, today is, I know it's election day, but today is also National Nachos Day on a Taco Tuesday. So let me just let that sink in, because those two things combined – today is already a win. So it is National Nachos Day. I did do a food of the day, kept it sports related. So the Arizona Cardinals have pizza box nachos. So it's essentially nachos topped with chilies, slow roasted pork, cheese sauce, guacamole, sour cream, olives, and salsa.
Do you like the loaded nacho thing there, Hugh? Or you just
I mean, I like it, but my stomach does not like them.
Yeah, right.
Because that thing right there, man. Listen,
worth it.
I'm at that age now, John. I just want to, get through life. Yeah. not have too many
fiber
issues.
Fiber nachos. There
no,
you
I'm
go.
Just saying. I'm just like, hey,
broccoli,
man.
Because,
sprouts. It's funny. You like
raisin bran.
You try to eat earlier in the day so that it won't hurt your stomach so bad, but it still does. Like, as soon as you're like, oh my gosh, I ate those chips and salsa. No, I'm good. You can have that. That's a younger man's meal. for real.
Yeah, for me, nachos are all about it. You can't put enough jalapenos on them. That's my
Agreed.
Thing.
Yeah.
Oh, you ain't there yet, huh?
Oh, no, I ain't there yet. No,
oh, yeah,
no,
good
no.
luck
I,
with that.
I eat jalapenos like that. I get the big jar of jalapenos.
You have a sensitive tummy.
I used to have rock gut, but nowadays it's sensitive.
No, I get the big jar of jalapenos. I can go through that in 2 weeks.
Good.
By the way, just so random because you're mentioning, guys and getting older, but even guys who played in the NFL, have you guys seen what Joe Thomas looks like now? The offensive lineman.
He's a little small. He
looked
like,
He is jacked, no doubt. He used to be 300-something pounds. You wouldn't be able to tell that he was an offensive lineman right now.
Right. He's lost so much weight?
So much weight. Just
you mean
like,
he got off
built.
The roids?
I think he's gotten on the roids. No, he's
no, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Because he actually addressed it. It's so random. On Twitter, he addressed because somebody said the exact same thing.
Right.
He goes, no, I was eating because I got paid to eat and
I will say this.
And then the diet changes once you stop becoming
I'll say player. This. For whatever reason, offensive linemen tend to they get their weight down. Mm-hmm. They as soon as they're done playing, they tend to take all that weight off. Defensive linemen, not so much.
Well, all I know is I saw Brian Bosworth a few years after he was done playing and he became the incredible shrinking man.
No, you know what's funny? Because I'm in that vein right now. It's like I figured it out. I work out too much, so I stopped working out, and I just do cardio now. So I'm going to see how that works out for me for the next couple
months.
Oh,
you're not lifting right now?
Nuh-uh.
Oh, okay.
I don't lift.
But lifting helps you. Well, it helps women become
smaller. When I lift, I don't lift. I'm not lifting heavy. I'll do, like, the basics. Like, I get up, and I'll do, like, the push-ups and the sit-ups and stuff like that.
Sure.
But as far as going to the gym and lifting, I said, I'm going to try
no
something different.
Okay, that's interesting.
Nah, none of that. I've changed my diet, too. I'm lightweight thinking about going vegan, but I like chicken too much.
So cheese.
And I'm not really a cheese eater though. I know, Daryl. I know I'm changing. Trying to get this weight off, man.
Trying to help you a long time ago.
Yeah. Forget you. You ain't got to tell nobody that.
Okay, excuse me, old man.
You ain't got to bring our business on the radio.
Wendy mentioned the name Jack Crawford, the man from London, England, who has found a home in the National Football League. Wes and Dave talked to him yesterday as part of the coaches show. We have a good chunk of that interview. We're going to play it for you next. On the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.